أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. My respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah for the opportunity to enjoy the blessings of the greatest month of Allah. In the dua we say that this is the month in which Allah azzamtahu wa karramtahu wa sharraftahu wa faddaltahu ala shuhur. It's the month of excellence, the month of blessings, the month of nobility when it compared to all the rest of the months in the year. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the opportunity to make the most out of every moment of our every moment that we have as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The topic that I've chosen to cover is forming a closer connection with the Imam of our time. And one of the ways that we can form a closer connection with the Imam of our time is for us to be aware that our actions and our deeds are presented to the Imam of our time. We're told in a hadith, for example, this one hadith from our fifth Imam alayhi salam, which says that inna a'mal al-ibad tu'radu ala nabiyyikum kulla 'ashiyatil khamis, that indeed all of the actions of the servants are presented to your prophet every Thursday evening. فَلْيَسْتَحْيِ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تُعْرَضْ عَلَىٰ نَبِيهِ الْعَمَلُ الْقَبِيحِ. So, let every one of you have a little bit of shame that an evil deed, a deed which is ugly, should be presented to his prophet. And this is one of among many ahadith which tell us that our actions are presented to the prophet of Islam even after he has passed away. Because we know that the Prophet and every being, when they die, it's not that they cease to exist, but the soul of the Prophet is very much alive and aware. This is not something that's limited to the Prophet. In another hadith from the sixth Imam alayhi salam, we're told تُعَرَضُ الْأَعْمَالُ يَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَعَلَىٰ الْأَئِمَّةِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ. That the deeds that we perform are presented to the Prophet and to the Imams every Thursday. And there's a number of ahadith to this effect. Ahadith in which the chain of narrations is sound and accepted. This is part of our beliefs. Furthermore, we have Quranic basis for this being the case as well. In a number of ayat, We have Quranic basis that our deeds are presented to the Prophet and to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Now, before we talk about how this can be a way of our forming a connection or strengthening our connection with the Imam, I want to first answer a question, which is, why is this the case? Why is it that the Imam alayhi salam why does he have to have access to my deeds? This question you might be wondering. Why is it that the sins that we commit or the good deeds that we commit, why do they have to be presented to the Imam alayhi salam? What's the benefit in that? What is God's wisdom in allowing that to happen? In order to explain that, I'd like to explain to an extent appropriate for this gathering at least, the concept of wilaya. Wilaya is a term which is used in the Quran. And there are two basic types of wilaya. One of them is explained in this verse right here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the physical universe. He says in this verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وهو الذي ينزل الغيث من بعد ما قنطوا وينشر رحمته وهو الولي الحميد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a situation where people are desperate. They're desperate for rain to fall from the skies. It's a situation which is not uncommon, especially these days where we find the weather pattern has become such that droughts are taking place around the world. People are desperate for rain to fall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who causes the rain to fall in such a situation. And He's the one who spreads His mercy by means of this rain. And He is the one who is the wali and the all-praised. Now wali, the term wali means somebody who is a guardian, this one who is the manager, the one who is the director. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when it comes to the physical universe, He's the one who directs it. He's the one who's in charge of causing that rain to fall, which will then cause the crops to grow, which will then cause the animals to be able to feed, which will then lead to there being good crops and good meat available in the marketplace, which will then lead to prices coming down, which will lead to people having jobs, and so many things that are predicated on this act of rain falling down from the sky. Sometimes we need to think about it. When you see rain, sometimes we just think about, well, how many extra minutes is that going to add to my commute? But the way that the Quran teaches us is to see these natural phenomena and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Him as being the wali, the one who is directing this phenomenon. I remember from my own personal experience, in recent times I was at a masjid in the city of Qum, where I reside during the school year as a student. And there was a period of time where it had not rained for, let's say, 2-3 weeks. And then it was raining when I went for the Jama'ah prayers. After the prayers, the Imam of the Jama'ah turned to the congregation and he says that, why don't you offer a sajda of shukr because of the rain that's falling right now? And to me, that was something very new. It was something that really shook me, because I had grown up in a city where rain was common. We never worried about it. But here in this desert land, when rain doesn't fall for some time, it's a cause of worry. And when it does fall, indeed it's a cause of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's clear when you look at the universe, brothers and sisters, that the physical universe, anybody who looks at it in a fair sort of way, will realize that there is a director behind what's going on. Even when it comes to physical things related to us, the fact that your heart is beating right now, how many of you have worried about making your heart beat since the time you came in and sat here? How many of us are worrying about when to blink our eyes to make sure that they don't get dry? When it comes to the fact that we're alive or we're dead, that's something which is controlled by factors outside of us. And if you want proof of this, just go to the graveyard. Just go to the graveyard once in a while. It's a good thing to go to the graveyard and to ponder and to think. One thing, you go and sit there and ask yourself, okay, how many of these people would have chosen to die when they did? And how many of them were given an option. Even if they didn't want to go at that time, there's nothing they could have done to stop this rule of God's universe taking place. Because this is the way that God designed the universe. This is the way that He's directing it and orchestrating it. He's the wali, He's in charge of it. It's very clear, brothers and sisters, to anybody who has an open mind, that the universe is in the control of a being who is greater than the physical universe itself. Now the question we need to ask, brothers and sisters, is that the same way that the universe and the physical universe is directed, what about our lives? What about things that take place, events that take place in our lives? The good things that happen, the bad things that happen, the upturns, the downturns, right? The blessings that come our way, the blessings that are taken away, the guidance that we get from turning from the darkness to the light, or God forbid, if somebody were to turn from light into darkness. Are these things just random? Or are they also under the control of a divine being? In order to help us answer this question, I want to now pose a scenario. Okay, and this is a bit philosophical. Alright, and I hope that brothers and sisters aren't so tired after the long fast that they can't take a philosophical scenario. Inshallah, you can. I have good hope, inshallah, that we'll be able to get through this. It's important. Here's the philosophical scenario. Okay. Suppose that you want to go on a trip, vacation. And somebody comes to you and he tells you that, you know what? I know you want to go on vacation. I am an expert, an absolute expert. I'm going to tell you where you need to go. Not only that, I'm going to arrange everything for you. I'm going to give you the tickets. I'm going to tell you where to get on your flight. I'm going to give you a ride to the airport. I'm going to give you money to spend along the way, food, accommodation, everything. When you get to this strange and exotic and wonderful land I'm going to guide you towards, you'll have tour guides there with you, and there will be sights and sounds and things that you will experience when you're there that until now no one has even seen or heard anything of the like. But there's one condition, and you can get this if you follow this one condition. And the condition is that you follow my instructions. You do exactly what I tell you. Not because somehow I want you to follow these instructions for my sake. No, it's for your sake. Because the place you're going to is a dangerous place. And if you don't follow these instructions, and if you take a misstep, then you're on your own. Right? You're going to be attacked by the enemies. You're going to be taken down. You have to follow the instructions I give you exactly. That's one option. Okay. The other option is that, you know what? I don't want that. I'm going to do things on my own. I'm not an expert, but I'm just going to find some place to go to, and I'll have to do all the arrangements myself. I'll have to have the worry about trying to figure out what's going to happen next. And I don't want to take the offer of that kind individual who made such a wonderful offer to me. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. Which one would you choose? The first one or the second one? I think anybody who is intelligent will definitely choose the first one. Because the person is an expert, right? He wants nothing but good from you. You're going to have such a wonderful experience, right? He tells you, in addition to what I mentioned, he tells you that, oh, it's not going to all be just, you know, a luxurious vacation. There'll be some times where you have to climb some mountains and, you know, it'll be hot sometimes and, you know, be trekking over the desert, some difficulties you have to face. But it will be well worth your time. You know, and he tells you another thing too. He tells you that along the way, you're going to learn as well too. I'll be teaching you, and you'll be growing as a person. Okay? I think everyone would say that I want the first one. But there might be some people who say that, you know what, I want the second one. You know why? Because it's too much of a hassle for me. You know, or because they say that, you know what, I don't want the first one because, you know, I don't know, I think I can figure it out myself. Right? I'm smarter than that. I don't need somebody to tell me what to do. I'm capable of figuring it out myself. Brothers and sisters, the example that I just gave you right now is just an example. Okay, now, this is the philosophical part. I think we can handle it, inshallah. We want to take this and make a parallel to our experience in this world. Okay, when we come to this world, we're like that traveler who doesn't know what destination he or she wants to get to. But there is somebody who's offering him that full package, which will take him to that destination of delight beyond which, you know, we can even describe. Right? And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the one who's giving us the package, which is the religion of Islam. Somebody who puts that into practice is somebody who's going to reach those wonderful destinations, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. He'll have guides along with him too, who are the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. He'll be learning something along the way, which is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the key thing here is that we have a choice to make. We can choose whether or not we want to accept the package and the direction and the management of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we choose to accept it, then He'll take us along and we'll get to those promised destinations. But if we don't want it, then we're not going to be forced to take it. This, my brothers and sisters, this is an example of the wilaya of Allah when it comes to our experience in this world. We have a choice whether or not we want to take this wilaya of Allah, the wilaya which will guide us. If we want to take it, then we can take it. If we don't want to take it because of pride or because of not wanting to bother with the details, then that's our choice as well too. But then we can face the consequences. We'll be on our own. And the consequences will be the dunya, the shaitan, and our own nafs. So this gives us an idea, inshallah, of what wilaya is about. We have an example in the Quran of somebody who willingly chose the package when it came to his life. And that's the example of the Holy Prophet Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam is somebody, if you look at his story in the Quran, he was somebody who was always guided by a hidden hand as he went through his life. You're familiar with the story. It begins with a dream that he sees. And that dream is the cause of him almost being killed. He's not killed, but he's placed in the bottom of a well. But we see a hidden hand here, because his being placed at the bottom of a well, there's some wisdom behind that, because that leads him to eventually end up at the court of a king. He's in the court of a king, and there he faces a trial as well too, which is that the wife of the king makes advances towards him. And that leads him to being thrown into prison. But again, the hidden hand is at work here. The hidden hand is at work. The prison experience, eventually, so many things happen, like this chain of events. It's not random. Look at what happens. In prison, you know the story, right? In prison, he meets somebody who asks him to interpret a dream. He interprets the dream for him. That person, when he's freed, he goes into the service of the king of the time. And many years later, the king sees a dream that no one knows how to interpret. So at that point, that person who was the freed prisoner remembers, oh, there's somebody named Yusuf who knows how to interpret dreams. And eventually, so then he goes and gets Nabi Yusuf. Nabi Yusuf interprets the dream. Eventually, this leads to Nabi Yusuf himself becoming the king of the land. It's clear, somebody who reads that story, it's clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just telling us a story with all these wonderful little incidents that took place. Yeah, it's a good story to tell. And the stories of the Quran, we should tell them to our children, we should tell them to our youth, we should tell them to adults. At all ages, we can take advantage from the stories in different ways. But the point of the story, what's the whole point of the story? If we go to the end, it seems that Nabi Yusuf al-Islam wants to sum up his whole experience. When he looks back at his life, he sees that God's hidden hand was there. He was managing the different affairs that took place in his life. He wasn't independent. He was being taken. He was being guided from the darkness into light as he went along the different events that transpired in his life. What does he say at the end? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رَبِّي قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلَ الْأَحَادِيثِ Oh Allah, You've given me all these blessings. You've given me the kingdom of the land. He went from being in the bottom of the well to being the king of the land. You've given me the ability to have ta'awilul ahadith. One example of that is to interpret dreams, but it means even more than that. Nabi Yusuf was gifted with that. And then he says to Allah, فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You are the one who controls the heavens and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are the wali, you are the master of the affairs, you are the manager, you are the one who is the protector and the guardian of my affairs. You see, he's somebody who sees Allah being the wali, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wilaya. He has control even when it comes to the events in his own life. Now brothers and sisters, this is a Quranic reality, it's a Quranic concept. And another thing we understand from the Qur'an is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His perfection and His divine names, He has appointed somebody in the earth to act as His representative to carry those responsibilities out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am placing in the earth a representative. So from that, if we put these things together, what we understand is that number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of the physical universe. Number two, when it comes to our lives and the events that take place, and our progress as we move from darkness to light, there is a hidden hand who's working behind the scenes to move us from one place to another. Not saying that we don't have free will, we have free will. But in terms of organizing the things and making things happen, there is a hidden hand that is directing it, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we choose to take His guidance, then we will be taken to the right destination. And number three is that responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in a human being, which is the hujjah of the time, which is the imam of our time. So, the imam of our time is somebody who is in charge of taking us from darkness to light, from taking us and guiding us throughout the events of our lives as we move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for Him to do that, He has to be aware of our situations. He has to know where we are so that He can figure out how to guide us and take us to the next place. And that is why our deeds and our thoughts and our actions are presented to the Imam of our time. Peace be salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Now knowing that the Imam alayhi salam is aware of our deeds, this has a very powerful effect on us. It should. Because if we're told that the Imam of our time, imagine if he's here right now amongst us, right? How differently we would act. How would it change the way we are? Other times when we're alone and somebody might feel like committing a sin, if they knew that the Imam of their time is watching them, obviously they'll change their behavior. When they're talking with their spouses or with their families and they know that the Imam alayhi salam has access to the dialogue that's going to take place, maybe that sweetness that was there one time will come back again. Maybe those insults and those jibes and talking badly and being rude will go away for the sake of the Imam alayhi salam. And we should know that some of the things that we commit pain the Imam of our time. These deeds and these speech that we do that we do so freely and easily, we should be aware that the Imam al-Islam himself will be pained by them. I want to end the speech with a story of a companion of our 11th Imam al-Islam. By the name of Ali ibn Mahziyar. Ali ibn Mahziyar was a companion of the 11th Imam, and he had a great desire to meet the 12th Imam after he went into the ghaibah. And he knew that the Imam alayhi salam is present at Hajj. So he goes to Hajj, perform the pilgrimage, and he's searching for the Imam during the entire time he's there with no luck. The next year again, he goes for Hajj, he's searching for the Imam, no luck. 20 years, year in, year out, he goes for Hajj, he doesn't see the Imam all the time. The 21st year, he says, let me try once more. He goes for Hajj, again he doesn't see the Imam.
But finally, after he's finished all the actions of Hajj, he's performing tawaf, and he's there in Masjid al-Haram, he sees a man approaching him. And the man strikes up a conversation with him, and he knows from the types of questions that he's asking that this man is no ordinary person. So finally he asks him a question. He says to him that, أُرِيدُ الْإِمَامَ الْمَحْجُوبَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِ. I wish to see the Imam who is hidden from the world. Immediately the man responds to him. This is man, by the way, is a companion of the 12th Imam. He tells responds to him right away. He says that, no, he's not hidden from the world, but rather, حَجَبَهُ سُوءُ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. It's your evil deeds that have caused you to be hidden from the Imam. And then he makes arrangements for him to go see the Imam. They travel to a certain location, and he makes his way and he sees the Imam at the time sitting there. What does the Imam alayhi salam tell him? He tells him that, كُنَّا نَتَوَقَّعُكَ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. We are waiting for you, O Ali ibn Maziyah. We are waiting for you day and night. What is the reason for why you were delayed and you didn't come to us sooner? So Ali ibn Maziyah tells the Imam, he says that, O Imam, Lam ajid, I didn't find anybody who could take me to you until now. This is the first time I found somebody. But then the Imam tells him that, is that the case? Is that the case that you were really looking for us? If that were the case, no, that's not the case. He says, لَكِنَّكُمْ كَثَّرْتُمُ الْأَمْوَالِ. But no, rather you were busy accumulating wealth and not spending it in the right way. And you were تَجَبَّرْتُمْ عَلَى دُعَفَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You were oppressing the weak among the believers. وَقَطَّعْتُمُ الرَّحِمِ الَّذِي بَيْنَكُمْ. And you were cutting off your relationships with your friends and your family. That's what you were busy doing. Your actions were being presented to me, the Imam alayhi salam is telling him. Don't think they were hidden from me. If you really wanted to see me, you really wanted to form the connection with me, you would have been more careful about your actions. These things pain me, they trouble me. And then the Imam tells him that, oh Ali ibn Masyar, had it not been for each of you praying for each other, then everyone would have been destroyed except the special and elite among the Shia, whose inside and what they say matches their outside and what they do. The people who are really truthful and they do what they say. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to not commit actions that would trouble the Imam of our time, and that he helps us to feel the presence of our Imam in our lives. Peace be salawat ala Muhammad.